But I don't think I've given a whole Dharma talk on it. Well, I may have, but not in a long time. So we get caught. We all get caught. Even someone who's been practicing for years and years and years, on a single point of view, a single feeling, a single belief. And our practice is about helping the mind, which gets stuck, sink into the heart, heart mind. And that means opening up to other points of view or feelings. That's the two go together. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's an exercise that happens experientially through our practice. We're so often caught in a dilemma, two sides, D2, lemma points, dilemma, 2 points. Can we open up to a third point, a trilemma? Can we open to a fourth point, a tetralemma? Can we open up beyond that to infinite points? So the tetralemma originally was used by the 6th century before the contemporary era, Jain sage Sanjaya. But then Nagarjuna in early Mahayana made it into a major exercise and practice. He set out how we can move beyond a single point of view to experience the opposite, and we can move beyond that to experience both, and we can free ourselves from the tyranny of one or even two or even three or even four descriptions. So the simple tetralemma as laid out by Nagarjuna is something may be what it is, or it may be not what it is, or it may be both, or it may be neither. So this is not Aristotelian logic, if any of you took philosophy in college. Aristotelian logic is cool. We need either or, but this is both and logic. Neither nor, both and. So things are empty from the beginning. They're infinitely bright and mysterious. And that's the wonderful inner being of all life, of all death, never born, never dies, can't be described, can't be given a name. Emptiness too is just another limiting word. Not nothing, no thing. Not light, not dark, not born, doesn't die, can't be named, and no one to name it. And not empty, not empty. This is not Nagarjuna's method of liberation, which then is infused in Chan and Zen teaching up until right now. We look carefully, Nagarjuna teaches us how to look carefully at language and thinking, completely deconstructing them so that nothing is left. No thing is left, not nothing, but no thing. Revealing the inherent contradictions that we do when we do our grammar, and we talk in grammatically correct or incorrect ways, but our grammar we get stuck on. And what Nagarjuna is pointing out is the original openness of no thingness. By exhausting the contradictions we face every time we speak. So he analyzes things so closely, so we are able to see the limitation of whatever the thought, the feeling, or the belief is. So to be redundant, again, there's only emptiness from the very beginning. It's bright, it's mysterious. It was never born, it never dies, and it's not empty. Nagarjuna says to believe in emptiness is the biggest mistake of all. <Ooh. laughs> So we, in the Heart Sutra, we chant, no form, no sensation, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no sight, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch. Anybody remember that? Yet, in daytime, it's light. Right now, it's light. At night, it's dark. My name is Tim. My wife's name is Linda. Emptiness is form. I am talking and you are listening. Inner being manifests self as different ways, and we call those forms. We call those forms. So Nagarjuna has two truths, the ultimate truth and conventional truth. Conventional truth is me here, you there. Ultimate truth is just bright and mysterious. inner being. So the Tetralemma practice is about moving beyond the conventional so we can really enjoy the conventional. We don't diss the conventional, we really enjoy it. One, to cling, if we cling to words, we're dead, according to Nagarjuna. According to, I guess, me, because I'm, I guess, Zen teacher, whatever. According to me, one who attaches to sentence is lost. So I'm here, sitting, looking at my screen. You're sitting there. English grammar, that's right. We need English grammar, that's good. We've got I, you, sitting, here, screen, there, good, all cool. But don't completely believe it. You can, right now, move all the way through the Tetralemma and come back to just this inner being with no effort. It's here already. And grammatical demands of certain Native American cultures might be different. Grammar distorts things. There's a lot of controversy about this. It's a whole other Dharma talk on the Whorf hypothesis, but I won't get into that. Nagarjuna points out the distortions. How can there be a here without a there? How can be there be a there without a here? How can we distinguish here from there? Where does here begin? Where does there end? In his paragraph on fire and fuel, it's actually several paragraphs, Nagarjuna shows that fuel cannot be fire and fire cannot be fuel, but fuel cannot not be fire and fire cannot not be fuel. Fire cannot be dependent or independent of fuel. Fuel cannot be dependent on or independent of fire. If you take a class on Nagarjuna, I think that nobody's taught in one lately. A guy Gibbon used to teach it. You get really dizzy. Well, you may not be dizzy. I get dizzy just reading them. In conventional reality, assertions necessarily separate, but things aren't really separate. So here's a contemporary Zen story based on my own past, which I've told all my stories, so I don't have any new stories. Although every time I tell them, they're different, so they're all new. working with a teacher in California, this is not one of my two primary teachers, and my friend went to Japan to practice with him, and when my friend got to Japan, my friend went to Japan to do lots of sitting. And when he got to the temple, they only did a little bit of sitting and they had all this cleaning, all this manual labor. And then the guests came every day. They had to take care of the guests. So they were preparing for the guests. They were cleaning. They were taking care of the guests. And the teacher had been talking about Shikan Taza, just to sit, Taza sit, Shikan Taza. And this teacher was supposed to be the great Shikan Taza teacher in Japan. So that's why he went to see him. And he said to the Teacher, well, geez, I came here to do Shikan Taza, just to sit, and you've got me doing all these other things. And the teacher said, oh, well, just Shikan, wash the dishes, Shikan, take care of the guests, Shikan, clean the room, Shikan. And so he said, okay. Then he said to himself, I don't know what I came for, but I get what the teacher's trying to tell me, that it's all, I can just do any of it as my Zen practice. So then he walks in the morning. Somehow he catches the teacher off guard in the morning, and the teacher has his own little private alcove. And the teacher's sitting there listening to the radio, eating his breakfast, drinking coffee. And he said to the teacher, I thought you said we should just do Shikan, just two. The teacher said, yes, I am just reading the newspaper, listening to the radio, and drinking coffee. Our teacher is Nagarjuna's Dharma heir. You understand? Nagarjuna's Dharma heir. So no separation. Also, this is wonderful about no separation. Equals ethical behavior. It equals ethical behavior. There are two types of ethical behavior. One based on learning, that's important. Acculturation, that's important. But one on the tetralemma, direct feeling and feeling joined. We feel joined. When we feel joined, we don't want to diss that person. We don't want to hurt that person because we feel joined. Heart mind. Our mind descends into our heart. Before speech, before thinking, but not kicking out speech and thinking. This is the Madhyamaka middle way, Madhyamaka, Nagarjuna's middle way. Not living your life in the first middle way between the extremes of asceticism and luxury. This is the map-destroying middle way. You get caught on your map. But Nagarjuna is false, is not, is also false, is and is not, is false, neither is nor is not, is also false. You can't assert any of them by themselves. False, 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 and false again. Any view we might hold, any belief we get stuck on. And so we see the stamp of Nagarjuna in all through the Zen literature and teaching. 8th century, transmission of the lamp. A young monk, Yashan, comes to Shito and says, I understand the Buddha's teaching, but I heard that around here you all just sit in silence. What does this mean? And Shito says, this way won't do. Not this way won't do. Both this way and not this way won't do. How about you? How about you? So how about you? Can you move beyond whatever belief you have to its opposite and then open to both and let go of both? How about you? How about you? Yesterday, we practiced this during the retreat where I did some guided meditation, two long guided meditations we practice. Another example from the Gateless Gate in China, the 10th, 11th century. In a dream, Yangshan goes to see Maitreya Buddha. Everyone is already seated in meditation. And Yangshan is directed to the third seat. This is a very high seat, the third seat. It's not the first, not the second, but pretty good. An announcement is made. The talk today will be given by the monk of the third seat. Unfazed, Yangshan gets up, hits the table with a gavel, and says, and he's directly referencing Nagarjuna's teaching here, the Dharma of the Mahayana goes beyond the four propositions, and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully, listen carefully. So some of you look engaged, but a couple of you, as I look at you, actually two or three of you look up puzzled by what I'm saying. Oh, so I have a belief as I look at you. Well, my talk is confusing you. But you're engaged. You're staying on screen. You haven't left yet. Can I move? Oh, your talks, my talks, maybe not confusing you because you're staying. So can I move from confusing to not confusing? Well, maybe it's both confusing and not confusing. Can I hold those together? And can I let go of all of them? Just be here and talk, neither confusing or not confusing. Can I do that? We can. So now I'm going to put one more Zen story from this one from the Blue Cliff Record, not the Gateless Gate, on screen. That is, if I can do it. I'm practicing this, so we will see. I'm going to do share screen. And then I am going to do, now I have to move it over so you can see it, right? Let's see here. Oh. Can you see it? Raise your hand if you can see it.
We can see it, Tim.
Everybody can see it. Oh, good. Okay. So this is the 73rd case in the Blue Cliff Record. A monk says to Matsu, I'm not asking you about the four propositions and the 100 negations. There again, Nagarjuna. But please tell me why Bodhidharma came to China. Well, why did Bodhidharma come to China? To bring this way of meditation and this way of living. That's why he came. If because he came to China, we're here. Because Suzuki and Katagiri came from Japan to San Francisco, we're here. But because Katagiri came all the way to Minneapolis, we're here, right? I'm not asking you about the four propositions of the 100 negations, but please tell me why Bodhidharma came to China. Matsa answers, I'm tired today and I can't explain it to you. Go ask Shitang. So the monk goes to Shitang, who says to him, why don't you ask Matsu? The monk said, I did, but he told me to ask you. Shitang says, I have a headache today and can't explain it. Go ask Baishang. So the monk goes to Baishang, who says, I don't have anything to say about this. The monk goes back to Matsu, tells him the whole story. Matsu says, Shitang has white hair and Baishang has black hair. So Matsu, the teacher, went beyond his single belief when he said he was tired. Shitang, the second teacher, went beyond a single belief. The single belief is that Bodhidharma came to China to bring Zen, to say he had a headache. And Baishang went beyond this belief about Bodhidharma to say he had nothing to say. Finally, Matsu came back to conventional reality because he had the tetralemma in him, not as a concept. And showing that conventional reality is not different from ultimate reality. How can they be different? Conventional reality, no conventional, go through the whole thing, ultimate reality, how can they be different? So he says, Shitang has white hair and Baishang has black hair. Inner being. Inner being doesn't say that Tim's not here and you're not there. But when obsessions or fears or distractions take over, excuse me, I've got a little cold. We're guaranteed to be caught by one side. It's just a guarantee. But this teaching reminds us that is one side, not is another, is and is not is another, and not and is not is the fourth. And we can move beyond. Subject and object dichotomy no longer bind us. We have relief, we have freedom. And yet we love conventional reality of my white hair. You can't see that my hair is white because it looks like it's blonde kind of. It went from blonde to white. So that's why I look younger than I am. I don't diet. Well, that's an idea, though. That's an idea. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we won't get into that. And what we have conventional reality of my white hair and your black hair. All right? Because it's not different from ultimate reality, right? And we all have moments of this when we just see or just be. But then we forget. And Nagarjuna in his very logical way, although it's not Aristotelian logic, reminds us. So now I want to see if I can leave this green. All right, leave this green. Oh, stop share, all right. So, if you think about this psychologically, there are conflicts internally between sub-personalities or ego states. Different sub-personalities come into conflict. We identify with a certain way of being, and then the other ways, you know, they just mess with our with a way of being that's our identity. I've talked many times about the fact that I'm a first child and a boy on both sides of the family. So I was the leader. I came out of my mother's womb as the leader. My grandparents were there waiting in the waiting room. I was there to lead. I was the first person ordained by Katagiri Roshi here at Zen Center many, many years ago, the leader. And I became chairman of the chairperson of the Zen Center board for 5 years, the leader. Then I became CEO of a nonprofit, the leader. Then I moved on to become a CEO of another nonprofit, the leader. My wife once said to me, "You're not my CEO." She was doing the tetralemma to me and didn't even know it. "You're not my CEO." Then I became guiding teacher here for the last 20 years. With Ted as a co now for some time, and he's doing a really good job. But that's how my identity, that's how I protect myself. I'm getting old. I'm not going to be able to be the leader forever. People are beginning to think, that old guy, he's missing things. He's losing it. Well, I want to grow beyond my edge. I'm a Zen practitioner for life. So notice what I'm stuck on. Notice it. Notice I'm stuck on being the boss or the enlightened one or the whatever one or the whichever one and move beyond it by just opening up, to the stillness that's right here, always right here. So once, maybe 15 years ago, I worked with a woman here at Zen Center, a student of mine, who admitted to me after I'd been working with her for a year, or maybe 2 years, I would say, that she had a smoking habit. You know, that's really not what we do anymore at Zen Center, right? Do you know anybody who has a smoking habit? Isn't that shameful in our culture to have a smoking habit? And she had been so dismayed and embarrassed and upset about her smoking, she didn't even tell me for a year or two. Once she told me, I thought, oh, I think I've maybe just been teaching Nagarjuna, I don't know. I thought, oh, this is an opportunity for us to practice the tetralemma, for her to practice it. So I said, oh, do you want to practice the tetralemma? She said, what's that? I don't like this intellectual stuff. I said, well, you're not intellectual. You just practice it. You don't need to do anything. So first I helped her open up to just how much shame she felt, how upset she was, how embarrassed she was about her smoking, how much she wanted to quit, why she couldn't quit, and how the more she tried to quit, the harder it was. Then I helped her move to, well, there's a reason you do it. I wonder what the reason is you do it. I wonder if you go in and find that other part of yourself. She said, well, it feels good. She said, I relax. I feel relaxed. I like the touch of the cigarette. I like its feel on my lips. It brings me back to the moment. Now, I know Zazen is supposed to do that, but the cigarette does it better, she said. You never know, right? Ah, I said, oh. I said, can you just embrace that? Can you feel that? Can you, no smoking in here, but I didn't say no smoking in here, but I said, can you embrace that? And she had a cigarette. I said, can you even pick it up and look at it? Feel how it relaxes you, how good it is. Anticipatory smoking is almost just as good as smoking itself. And can you experience the sensations in your body that go along with it? That's part of this Tetralemma practice. We completely embrace, completely know our belief that's limiting us, and then move to the opposite one. Because there's an opposite one that's usually hidden. And then can we move beyond and radically accept both, aligning ourselves with both, opening up to both? We have that potential, don't we? Isn't that cool that we have that potential? Both, I want to give up and I don't want to give up smoking. And it feels so good. That's why I don't want to give it up. And then can I move on little by little through my meditation to getting out of the box entirely, to neither loving it or hating it? Zen beyond self-consciousness. Tim has white hair. Melinda has black hair. Tim beyond self-consciousness. Just here. Just being who we are. Just being what is. Runny nose and all. Only Tim has a runny nose. And yeah, I won't get into that. I got to go finish my talk. It's already, I'm going to have time for questions. Resolving the struggle between our idealized self and the shadow, which creates bipolar thinking. I know a few of you think your diagnosis is bipolar. You're all bipolar. We're all bipolar. We push away the things that we don't like, and we cling and get manicky about the things that we like. I get manicky about being a boss and a leader. I have since I was 1 year old, because I was programmed to be a boss and a leader. So maybe you have a bad habit or rigid belief that bugs you or others. Just can you involve your body in doing the Tetralemma, identifying the conflict? I shouldn't smoke. Then open to multiple thoughts and feelings, personalities to create more options. Can you bring all lemmas, all points in and hold them and curiously look at them? Without judging, without evaluating, just as they are, with some appreciation for them and love for them, because they're a manifestation of inner being too. Everything is. Can you move beyond your thoughts about what a bad habit you have and open to the other side? How much you enjoy smoking? How much you enjoy eating chocolate? I used to be a chocolate-holic. I'm not anymore. I don't know why. Instead, I'm a cacao-holic. C-A-C-A-O-L-I-C. I'm a cacao-holic. I had it for breakfast, I'll have it for lunch, and I'll have it for dinner. Cacao is the raw stuff without sugar. It's just as good, you guys. You can get just as addicted to it. Can you create enough mental space So you can hold both your desire to quit and your enjoyment simultaneously. Your joy and desire to change and what is simultaneously. Can you do that? If you do this as a regular practice, you're surprised to discover that your mind and emotions just let go. They just let go. But first they need to be acknowledged and honored. They need to be acknowledged and honored. If not, you're just repressing them. You can repress them and look like a really good Zen practitioner, but that ain't it. That ain't it. It seems as if thought slips into our mind fully developed and takes over. But if we continue to explore our different parts, I don't mean so by thinking about them, but if we continue to explore them consciously and unconsciously with our meditation practice, and specifically with Tetra Lama practice or some other practices, the mind becomes subtle. Subtle, I said subtle, but I meant supple. But it becomes subtle and resilient, and it naturally descends into your heart on its own. On its own. To practice the Tetra Lama, we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. I'm almost 78. Can I practice letting go of being a leader, letting go of being a boss, letting go of being the one that people turn to as I settle into senility? Can I do that? Why not? Senility, no senility, both senility and senility. Neither senility nor just not lack of senility. Wow. Wow. So it seems as if thoughts slip into our mind fully developed and take over. But if we continue to explore our different parts, they don't have to. We're able to step out of our comfort zone. Voice the dilemma. Remember that any single belief we have disempowers us, and bring love to them all. All four corners, all four directions. The four corners, the four directions, north, south, east, and west. All four directions. All Buddhas, 10 directions, 3 times we chant every day. 10 directions, the 4 cardinal directions, the 4 ordinal directions, the sky and the earth, all Buddhas, 10 directions, 3 times. Through our meditation practice, our comparing, our criticizing, our complaining get replaced by just opening to all these different lamas, all these different points and beyond. And the mind just rests in the heart where it belongs. The mind's been missing the heart. It's been missing it. The heart's been missing the mind. It just descends. So that's what I want to say this morning.